Mouth breathing is not good because
It should be legal.
it should be legal.
It should just not, it's not normal.
Right.
I think that's the bottom line.
This is another Parent and Baby Brunch podcast. We're very excited about today because we're discussing nasal breathing versus mouth breathing and also how to preserve your child's airway. A big thanks to our support to Epimax Baby and Junior, our family, to Curaprox, and to Jacaranda FM. Naseema Osman, our oral hygienist, to the stars. Who lies in your chair? When people come to you, who comes?
Everyone, all different ages, the young, the old, the moms, the dads, everyone.
But you were your very first patient.
Indeed so.
What happened?
It's been an amazing journey. I've been an oral hygienist for a really long time, been blessed to be in a family that's always been speaking about teeth. My dad is a dentist, my uncle is a dentist, my cousin, it's just been teeth. But I never knew that there was a connection between the airway and the way we breathe. And the way our jaw develops and our teeth gets placed, I had absolutely no idea.
So I actually had such a laugh the other day. You know, shoemaker's son doesn't have any shoes. So my kids do extra Afrikaans, but I'm first language Afrikaans, you know, surely. So in your home, everyone's a dentist, but you're a case study.
Indeed. At one point, my dad thought I was like, going crazy. He's like, there's nothing wrong. It's like, I'm convinced my teeth are moving. Why are they moving? They look straight. He says it's fine.
And at this stage, you're an adult.
Yeah, I'm an adult. I'm a mom of two kids. I'm like, how are my teeth moving? Well, I wasn't wearing my retainer anymore, but I was like, okay, maybe that's why I need to get a new retainer. But still, why are they shifting? And then convinced my uncle, let's do braces again. But he found that my arch was not wide enough. It started to narrow. And that made so much sense. I was always tired. I wasn't sleeping well. And I just linked that with the fact that I have two kids and I'm, always waking up, making sure they're okay, or they wake me up. Always going to the bathroom. I was like, oh, I had two kids, right? That's the norm. You get told that it's normal, but I found out that it's not. And it's absolutely changed my life. And I thought I couldn't keep this information to myself. I need to help all the other families out there.
You're probably enjoying this conversation on Baby Brunch. Stay where you are. A quick thanks to our support. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax. The Epimax Baby and Junior range now offers a sunscreen cream that provides broad-spectrum protection for all skin types, including your baby's sensitive skin. Enriched with vitamin E, aloe vera, and bisabolol, this moisturizing SPF 50 cream is dermatologically approved and delivers daily protection against harmful UVA and UVB rays. Try it today and feel the difference.
So you find out that something needs to change. I must tell you, until today, and having gone through your research, didn't realize that mouth breathing could be such a big problem. I'll quickly tell you a story growing up. I remember there was a little girl that always used to hang around us when we were kids. And because we kind of looked after each other, we would always wipe her nose. Always. Turns out that she was a mouth breather. You know?
Yeah.
But when you're a kid and hanging around, it just feels normal for small children to have their mouths hang open because that's just how things are when your nose is blocked, I guess. Exactly. And we'll soon talk about allergies and the relation between mouth breathing and allergies. How did you, as an adult with mouth breathing, solve the problem?
So it wasn't a chronic mouth breathing as an adult. It was more the nighttime that was an issue. So you could go through the day nasal breathing because you're awake in control of your muscles. You can keep your mouth closed, but at night it becomes harder, right? We're laying down, our muscles are relaxed. If the tongue can't stay in the palate, is not strong enough, it's going to drop and then the mouth will open. And then, of course, the whole mechanism of sleep changes because now you switch from nasal breathing to mouth breathing and you don't enter that deep sleep. The brain actually, your whole breathing changes. So you go into a sympathetic way of breathing and that's fight and flight. We know that. So the brain is alert. It's like, what's coming? And then you wake up, you've had 8 hours of sleep, but you're still tired. And as adults, we go through the day with brain fog, fatigue, but we have things that need to get done. And eventually it starts adding up and becoming a problem, but long-term.
Surely as an adult, mouth breathing shouldn't be an issue. Why is it an issue if the body has already grown and established what it wants to look like?
So if we just look at the way breathing, if we compare nasal breathing to mouth breathing, when we breathe with our nose, the nose was designed for breathing, right? The air will filter, go through the nostrils, be filtered, humidified. But with the mouth, we don't get that. And another amazing thing about nasal breathing is that when the air enters the nose, it hits the parasinus and then the sinus, there's nitric oxide that gets made over there that can't be made if we are breathing with our mouth. And what nitric oxide allows us to gain more oxygen, to be more oxygen absorbed into the body. So we actually get more oxygen with the nose as compared to the mouth.
Wow.
So as an adult, that's where it will make a huge difference.
So let's quickly talk about our kids. I mean, is there a correct way to breathe?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we are all healthy babies are born nasal breathers, right? If you think of a baby suckling on their mom, their nose has to be open in order for them to breathe, right? Even on a bottle, if their nose was stuffy and blocked, they wouldn't be able to feed. And we all know that when there are toddlers that are sick, they're really, really unhappy because they can't eat really well. So when the child becomes a mouth breather, we should be asking why. What's happening? What's causing the child's mouth to open and not use their nose?
So why is it so important for children's development? I mean, if my baby is a nasal breather, or if my baby is a mouth breather, how important is it for their development or even for their facial growth?
It's very important. So when we look at the normal way of breathing through the nose, right, the natural way, we have the lips resting together, we have the tongue on the roof of the mouth. And why it's important for the tongue to be on the roof of the mouth is because we want the palate to be widened. When the palate's widened, we have forward growth. We want the jaws to grow forward. When there's forward growth, the airway is not being impeded on. There's no obstruction in the airway. The child can breathe well. And that's what's important in a child, right? We want all children to be able to breathe well so that they can thrive. If they are mouth breathing, the mouth hangs open. The tongue hangs low. When the tongue is low, now there's nothing in the roof of the mouth holding that arch wide. So automatically it starts to cave in and becomes more V-shaped compared to U-shaped. And there isn't that forward growth. It grows downwards long. And there's a syndrome called long face syndrome or adenoid face. And they have very little definition to their face. Low muscle tone in the face, not very defined cheekbones. They always look tired. And those are kids that are really struggling to breathe. And during the day, they might actually compensate. They will manage, but they really struggle at night. That's when they lay down flat because it really puts pressure on that airway.
Immediately, I'm starting to think, I mean, we're saying facial growth and it almost feels cosmetic, right? But what about nutrition or taking part in sport or talking?
Yeah.
I mean, does mouth breathing influence all of that?
It is a problem with speech, with diet and sports, right? And diet is very important to me because I find that one we have so much control over. From the time the child starts eating, right, at 6 months, that's when we have the power to change their development. Kids are given smooth foods for a really long time. And in order to stimulate the growth of the jaw, we need to chew. And it's not happening anymore. Kids prefer easy foods. And even if we think that we are having foods that are crunchy, they're actually not, like burgers and things like that are still considered soft diet.
I like what you said earlier, that in your day-to-day function as an adult, you will seem like everything's fine. And then nighttime is when the issue actually occurs, when you have no control over the facial muscles and you actually realize, well, someone else will. They will realize that you're actually a mouth breather. How do we recognize these signs in our children? How do we know if our children are mouth breathers or nasal breathers?
Well, some parents will hear them from their room, because that's how loud some kids would snore. And it is not normal for any child or adult to snore.
Wait a minute. Okay, so are you saying when my husband snores, is he a mouth breather?
Is his mouth open or closed?
Oh, I haven't checked. Oh, I will check. Okay, so this is interesting. So if his mouth is open while he snores,
that's trouble. But if it's not open, then it's more noisy sleep that's happening instead of like proper snoring, mouth breathing snoring. Then it could be like weak muscles in the back part of the throat that literally rattles when he breathes.
And in our children, if we realize that little one is snoring,
yep.
And we'll talk about allergies shortly, but if we realize that little one is snoring, what are we looking for?
We have to see if they are mouth breathing, right? If they're mouth breathing, why are they mouth breathing? What's happening? Is there congestion? Is there an obstruction in the airway? Is there something that's restricting the tongue from resting naturally on the roof of the mouth? So that could be low tongue tone. That could be a tongue tie. It could be a lip tie even. So it makes it difficult for them to close their lips. We have to find out what's going on. Try to get, because mouth breathing is just a symptom, right? We have to try to get to the root cause of these symptoms.
Just quickly, and I mean, I just thought about this. Speech is something I love. I mean, I speak for a living. Yep. In our little ones, when there's a lisp or perhaps a speech impediment, could this be due to mouth breathing?
It could be due to low resting tongue position. So it comes down more to the tongue itself instead of mouth breathing. But usually when the tongue is resting low and not living where it needs to in the roof of the mouth, eventually mouth breathing does then show up.
If mouth breathing disrupts sleep, surely there is some relation on how my child behaves during the day.
Yes, definitely. I mean, let's first think about ourselves. If we never had a good night's sleep, how do we feel in the morning? Maybe the next day we're still okay. Our body can cope. But if we have a second night where our sleep is disruptive, by the second day we are completely exhausted, fatigue. It's actually our whole mood changes, right? We're miserable. With kids, imagine the kids. It shows up with hyperactivity, restlessness, can't concentrate in school. And of course, not talking about short spans of not sleeping well. It's usually long periods. Sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years. It really breaks my heart when I listen to these moms and like, but they've always slept like that from the time they've been born, but it's not normal, you know? So we need the sleep for kids, firstly, to rest, to grow, mostly grow, brain development. For adults, of course, we need it to rejuvenate. And maybe that's why some people just age better than others, because they actually get to rejuvenate and get that beauty sleep.
There's a sadness that rests with me because I'm thinking of the little ones that don't sleep well, and most of the time they go undiagnosed. Also, through Parent and Baby Brunch, what I have discovered is that sometimes there's a symptom and there's a lot of misdiagnosis. So now the child doesn't sleep, the behavior is influenced, the class is disrupted. Does mouth breathing open the door for misdiagnosis?
It can, definitely. I always say, do all the tests that you can. Well, you know, every mom has that mom instinct, you know, deep down, you feel like you definitely know your child the best. And I've definitely been in that same situation with my child. You know, he showed red flags and I did not want to accept it. I refused. And eventually it was just an airway issue. And to hear my 10-year-old, who is now in expansion, tell me after 2 months, "Mom, I can breathe better."
Wow.
Is amazing.
And now for a message from Calpo. Calpo Pediatric Suspension begins reducing fever within 15 minutes. Its fast-acting formulation helps lower body temperature promptly and contains paracetamol, which is widely recommended for children's pain and fever management. Calpo is formulated to be gentle on the stomach and is indicated for mild to moderate pain and fever. Calpo is the number one selling children's pain reliever in South Africa. Alcohol-free and available in 50 ml and 100 ml sizes. Calpo is suitable for home and travel use.
How do you get a diagnosis? I mean, so you realize that your child might be mouth breathing and there might be an issue. We also want to thrive, you know? How do you get it diagnosed?
So it's best to be aware, like what's happening. Try to be aware of how you are breathing. You start with yourself before you can actually start watching your kids. It doesn't need to be a mouth hanging wide open. It literally just needs to be lips apart. And when your lips are apart, automatically that tongue will drop. And then there's no filter. So there's no warming of the air when it goes through the mouth. It hits your tonsils, it hits your adenoids. And of course, this is how these glands become inflamed, not maybe infected, but definitely enlarged.
Mm-hmm. Is there a medical professional that can diagnose mouth breathing? I mean, now you know that it is an issue. What do we do next?
So if there's an obstruction in the airway, definitely an ENT. It's not something that you can go to a health professional and say, "You know what, I'm mouth breathing, you need to check what's happening." But you can definitely tell them, "I can't breathe through my nose. It's really hard for me to breathe through my nose." There could be adenoids that's enlarged, tonsils that are enlarged. With adults, it could be a deviated septum. And it's not always that those things need to be removed, but if they are really, really big, and that's the only way for you to breathe better, then that's the way it needs to go.
So before I talk treatment, I want to know about teeth alignment and development. When one breathes through your mouth like that, and especially for our little ones, surely their teeth will not align, or even the jaw.
Yeah. So if we think about the jaw, and if the tongue is up in the roof of the mouth, right, the arch will form beautifully. It will be wide enough for the entire tongue to fit up there. So that's wide enough for the tooth to come out without being crowded. The only reason it really crowds is because the tongue was laying low. And now the teeth are coming out all over. There's no guidance. There's no true guidance. And when it comes to the mole teeth, you know, we usually like to brag when our kids have perfectly straight milk teeth with no gaps in between, like it's perfectly straight. But that's actually a sign. That's a red flag. That if you think about it, the permanent teeth that are going to come out are double the size of that milk tooth. So where are they all going to fit? So there needs to be a space between every single milk tooth.
Wait a minute. So perfectly aligned milk teeth, as pretty as they are, might not be the answer. We actually need the spaces because our permanent teeth will be taking, will be making way, yep. Will be taking place.
Yep. So this is why you can actually see by the age of 3 and 4, if the child already has jaws that are too small and will need expansion.
What does jaw expansion look like?
So with kids, it's amazing because they're still growing. So we have that to our control. And there's different ways of doing it. There's lots of different appliances out there now that are able to allow kids to work on their nasal breathing, to allow natural growth, get the tongue to go where it needs to be. And these are all guiding appliances to get them to where they need to be.
And as an adult, if I know that I am a mouth breather, where do I seek help? I go to my ENT?
So a quick way to tell whether you can breathe through your nose or not is to use a popsicle stick. Place it between your lips, right? Close the lips, set the timer 3 minutes. If you can hold the stick there for 3 minutes, that means that you can breathe through your nose. If you drop it before then, that means that there's some obstruction happening and the ENT would be your first visit.
How can one assess it? I mean, what are some of the common airway obstructions that children might be experiencing? And I'm specifically thinking of allergies or even a common cold.
Yeah. So it's important to understand that it's not just a phase, right? Usually, if it's affecting the kids for a long period, we want to ask why, what's happening. So it could be tonsils that are enlarged, adenoids that are enlarged. If it's just for a short period, fine, great. Kids will be able to breathe better, right? Or after a short period of time. But if it's for a long period, the tonsils really, really block the airway. So we have to look at either getting them removed if they don't shrink on their own. Then there could be things like allergies. Sometimes parents would say, oh, my kids have allergies because they're always reacting to certain things, but rather do an allergy test so that we can actually prevent certain things or expose them to certain environment when it's in our control, of course, or sometimes give them the antihistamine when they require it. I know we don't always want to do meds. We want to do the holistic route, but I always say that when it comes to the nose and being stuffy, rather be stuffy for 2 days instead of being blocked up for 2 weeks.
Wow.
The longer the nose stays stuffy and it's not used, the longer the child will mouth breathe. So we need to unblock that nose as quickly as we can. And yes, we all get sick. So it is normal.
It's so interesting because my children love a saline rinse.
Yep.
Okay, we are saline rinse converts in our house. So they know when that saline rinse comes out, my nose is not going to be as blocked. The thing though is that only now I realize why I'm doing it. I mean, they will tell me their nose is not feeling great and that's why we saline rinse. But you're right, an open nose feels much better than a blocked nose. And I understand why, because one could avoid so many other things with mouth breathing if we just get straight to the point. What about tongue ties and restrictions?
So with tongue ties and restrictions, there's a whole hype about that right now. And it always comes down to function. So we all have a tie or frenum below the tongue, right? But is it restricting us from having the tongue resting on the roof of the mouth? Is it making speech difficult? All of those things need to be taken into consideration before they get released. And it's also very important that pre and post-op exercises and rehab is done when these releases are done.
I think what you just said is so important in all things that we have fixed and assisted. I think the rehabilitation and the work at home, right, is so, so important. Speaking of work at home, so now we realize that little one is mouth breathing. Is there any way that we can assist them at home?
So it's important to find out, is it just a blocked nose? You could start off with nasal hygiene, make sure that the nose is cleared. You could use saline or a neti pot, whatever works for you. But if it doesn't clear up or you see that the child really struggles, then rather schedule an appointment with an ENT. Get the airway checked out and find out if there's any obstructions. Or if there's no obstructions in the airway, then see a pediatric dentist and find out, is it the jaw development that could be impacting the airway?
I had a look at some of your research and some of the questions that we discussed before we got. I mean, there's different types of therapies that one can do to correct mouth breathing and support our children long term. What are some of those therapies and who's teaching it?
So myofunctional therapy is one of them. And with myofunctional therapy, it is exercises that strengthens the muscles of the face and the tongue and the lips, right? And all we are doing is just restoring normal function. So the body is in a dysfunctional form at the moment. And the body is amazing, right? It will do anything to survive,
yeah.
Like anything. And the four goals that are focused on during myofunctional therapy is 1, nasal breathing. So we start off with getting you aware of breathing through your nose. And then lip strength, so getting the lips resting together. And of course, when the lips are together, automatically nasal breathing will take place. Thirdly, the tongue resting on the roof of the mouth. Okay. And then the last one is the swallowing pattern. So believe it or not, your swallow is really, really important.
You know, on this podcast, we've learned so much. And a big thanks to CuraProx for bringing us the most amazing guests. We've learned about oral health, and we've learned about the first 1,000 days of our baby's life, and how our mouth is actually the center point of a lot of things. Like, we eat through it, we have to speak with these teeth and tongues and things. So it's fascinating to learn that even our nose and our mouth has such a big impact on how our face grows, jawline and structure in your own life, which, by the way, I want to get back to, because I want to know how you got your teeth to be that perfect and beautiful and why you're not wearing braces currently. Just first, I mean, if we want to support our parents today, right, I like tips. And if you can give me your 5 top tips of how we can support our children's airway health, what would it be?
I think firstly is go and watch your kids sleep. Really, really. Like, when I ask parents about that, I mean, I'm a parent myself, you know, and usually they go to sleep and it's like, okay, I'm done with you guys with it. I need me time. But just take 5 or 10 minutes and sit in that room, maybe 30 minutes after they've slept, and listen to them. Can you hear them, firstly? Is their mouth open? Are they tossing and turning? Are they sleeping in strange positions? All of those things are actually red flags. And secondly, nasal hygiene. I can't stress that enough. Don't wait for the nose to become blocked up. Normal saline every day. Just make sure that nose is clean. Like, we do oral hygiene, body hygiene. Why can't we clean the nose, right? It does the hard work. It filters our air most of the day, right? If we're not mouth breathing.
So we've got this habit in the house. Like, if you've had your shower, you need to blow your nose. That's just how it works, you know? Yeah. Which is twice a day, thank God. But yeah.
Another thing to prioritize and have a look at is encourage nasal breathing. So if you do see that your child switches between mouth breathing and nasal breathing during the day, so it doesn't have to be their mouth is hanging open all the time. Just a switch is actually as bad as having your mouth hanging all day. Try to encourage them to keep the mouth closed. And of course, we want to do that in the most fun way. Because once it becomes a demand, automatically they're not going to want to do it. So maybe read them a story at night and ask them, can you hold the stick between their mouth? Or let's keep our finger on our lips and see who can, you know, hold it there for like one page of the story. To try and make it more fun for them. Or let's build a Lego tower and hold our lips together. So we need to make it really fun, and so that they don't, you know, not want to do it.
Okay. How much do we trust our instinct?
Moms have an amazing instinct, and I know I trust my mom instinct when I wasn't sure about it, or I didn't trust a diagnosis. So try to seek as much advice as you can. You know, try and pick up the red flags that you see in the child and then navigate from there in order to be able to find your road. And it's definitely a long road ahead, but as long as you're on the right path, you will get to seeing that changes in your child.
Okay, so I like playing this game, because when people finish my sentence, I really find that we can find out so much information. So mouth breathing is not good because?
It should be legal.
It should be legal.
It should just not, you know, it's not normal.
Right.
I think that's the bottom line. You know, it's not normal unless we are sick, which of course, in that case, it's okay, because it's for short periods of time. But long term, no. If it's left untreated, it has the power to change the way that your child's face will develop. It will impact their brain development. It will impact their health, of course. The way your child breathes today shapes the way they grow tomorrow.
So more about you. I want to know how that fairy tale ends. So now the entire family are dentists, but in their household, there's a mouth breather and everyone's going, oh, you're just dreaming. You're fine. You're imagining it. As we do. Yeah. How did it end for you?
Well, after I had palatal expansion, and after about 2 months of palatal expansion, I could breathe better. And I didn't even know I had a breathing problem up until that point. And then had 1 year of braces, and I slept better. I didn't wake up anymore to use the bathroom. It's been absolute bliss.
Do you wish you had a mouth breathing diagnosis before your kids?
Definitely. Yeah, it would have made such a difference. I never thought that there was a difference breathing through your nose or breathing through your mouth. It was just like, I'm breathing, right? I'm alive. There shouldn't be a difference up until I found this word, which was only 5 years ago. So now I classify mouth breathing as an emergency airway. We only really use it when it's an emergency, right? Other than that, we should be breathing through the nose.
Either that or unless you sing opera, which none of us here in the room. My team just looked at me like, what? How important is collaboration? I'm so pleased, grateful for, you know, doctors when they can make the phone call, like you as an oral hygienist, when you can talk about airway health, and our dentists, when we can call them up and say, you know what, we need someone in this field. Or how important is collaboration when it comes to our children and our airways?
It's extremely important. Like I can't do myofunctional therapy without a team. It takes a team. I'm just one, you know, point or piece of the puzzle, but we do need an ENT on board. We need the dentist for certain things, and it definitely takes a huge collaboration, and everyone plays a vital role.
Sure. I must say, you have opened a whole world for endless sleep, great behavior, and actually, we just want to breathe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good quality sleep is what we should be thriving for. If the kids are sleeping well, they'll grow well. And that should be our ultimate goal.
Thanks, Asima. Thanks for joining us today.
You're most welcome.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax. The Epimax Baby and Junior range now offers a sunscreen cream that provides broad spectrum protection for all skin types, including your baby's sensitive skin. Enriched with vitamin E, aloe vera, and bisabolol, this moisturizing SPF 50 cream is dermatologically approved and delivers daily protection against harmful UVA and UVB rays. Try it today and feel the difference. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.